It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. As the Lord inspired it to me and brought it to my mind, I had to look back over my life and remember how that it had an impact on me even as a young person. When this particular passage would be preached on, oftentimes it was messages of saying, do you see the church? Or how do you see the truth of God's word? Or how do you see the standard of holiness? So that all took vision. And that's generally how I remember that particular passage being used. But this morning I want to give you the definitions or the word vision. I know we feel like that we understand the English language and can convey that word successfully in sentences. But I want to give you two definitions to use in the little thought this morning. The first one is vision is foresight. So it's something that I can see and yet not see, but I understand it. The second definition is the ability to anticipate and make provisions for future events. That's vision. So I'm going to give you, first of all, some other translations of that particular passage because I feel like it opens it up to us a little bit more clearly. It says, where no vision is, the people perish. It says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. So if you and I do not have the foresight or the ability to anticipate and make provisions for the future, then we will not be as restrained in our life. See? And it also says the people are unrestrained. The people run wild if they don't have a vision. And the people become demoralized if they do not have a vision. We all know that our society is certainly in that place. I believe that we could all say that the majority, the vast majority of our world today does not have spiritual vision to even prepare for future events. They do not see the doors that are being opened and where they're going to lead to the next generation and the next. So this particular passage we want to use with those definitions. Now, I'm going to change just a little bit. I've never had this particular inspiration of a scripture before, but I believe if you'll stay with us, we can connect the two. There are scriptures, a number of scriptures in the Old Testament that speaks about a seer, S-E-E-R. And I'm going to read a passage to you this morning from several verses. 1 Samuel 9, I'm taking parts of 6, 9, 18, and 19. And it says, and he said, behold, there is in the city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh to pass. Now that we're talking about a seer. Let us go hither. Peradventure, he can shew us our way. And then the next verse says, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come, let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Someone that could see future things, could have had an understanding. They had a vision in order to pass it on to the people, really. That was the purpose of the prophet. And then down to verse 18, it says, then Saul drew near to Samuel and said, tell me, where is the seer's house? Verse 19, and Samuel said, I am the seer. And will tell, the latter part of that verse says, and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. Now, I've chosen just the meat of those verses to get our mind focused upon just the main parts of those verses. I didn't want to get lost in some adjectives and descriptive words. I just wanted to give you the meat of those verses. If you look in the concordance, or if you study at all about this word seer, you will find that kings of the earth at that time desired to have their own personal seer. And David himself had a seer. Men sought after a seer in order to understand what direction to go. Kings would go to their seers and they would say, do we go up or do we stay? In other words, do we go out to war or do we not go to war? And if it was the man of God, and if it was a true man of God, God would give that seer the direction to go, and the kings respected that and honored and feared God and the words that came through the seer. The people in the Old Testament did not have a direct contact with God for themselves. It had to be a chosen man of God that God worked through and revealed the secrets or revealed direction. Now I'm going to give you a picture of why the people could not go to God for themselves. This was Old Testament also. Remember this. I'm going to be reading some passages from Exodus 19, 9 through 12. And verse 16, again, I'm going to give you just the main parts of these verses. It said, the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak. Now you see, in the garden, when Adam and Eve fell, what relationship did Adam and Eve have with God in the garden before the fall? They walked and talked with him. They had a personal relationship without fear. Yeah. They enjoyed a relationship with God in the garden. But when they fell, they became afraid of God. They had sin in their life and they hid themselves from God. They recognized their state and tried to cover themselves. Now, God still came to walk with them, and he called Adam, and he said, where art thou? And as they ventured out to approach God, they did it with a completely different atmosphere, attitude, character. What they had formerly was gone, and it could not be recovered at that time. And so they were cast out of the garden and away from the presence of God and could never enter the garden again. So a drastic change took place in the relationship between God and man. And it was that way down through the ages of time. It was only certain individuals who God saw that had a heart turned toward him, that sought after him, and he used them. And they became seers or prophets or able to commune with the people between God and man. They were the connecting points between God and man. So Moses, God has said to Moses, I'm going to come and talk to the people, and it will be in a thick cloud so that the people can hear when I speak. He told him to tell the people, sanctify yourselves and be ready, for the Lord will come, it says, in 3 days. I will come down in the sight of the people. Thou shalt set bounds unto the people. You see, God didn't even invite them to really but come just so far. They could not come and touch the mountain even. It says this in this passage. Set bounds unto the people, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye not go up unto the mount or touch the border. The presence of God was so holy and it was so fearful that the people trembled. So it happened that whosoever toucheth the mount shall be put to death. And then it says, and it came to pass on the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and the voice of the trumpet. It didn't even sound like the voice of a man. And it was exceedingly loud, so that all of the people trembled. Now, chapter 20, verse 18. And it says, when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And this is what they said to Moses. You speak to God. You speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. That's the relationship that man had with God during all of those years before Christ. So we find that Moses was like a seer. He carried the messages from God to the people because they were too afraid to approach him. A God that speaks out of smoke and thunder and lightning and a sound of a trumpet, it terrified the people. Now I'd like to take you to Judges. Another little side to a seer. Judges, the 17th chapter. I'm going to look at 5 through 7 and 10 and 12 and 13. Again, I'm just going to give you parts of those verses, which will be like the meat of those verses. And it says, and the man Micah made an ephod and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Now, a priest is one that stands between or is also a seer, receives from God the answers to give to the people. So this man, he made his own ephod or his own spiritual, religious emblems, you might say. And then he took one of his own sons, who was not even eligible to be a priest, but he took one of his sons. He himself consecrated that son, and he said, now I want you to be my priest. I want you to get a hold of God that we can have answers from God. So this is where they were. But look at the next verse that we have here. It says, in those days, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So this man, Micah, he was doing something. He had this need in his life. He knew he could not approach God for himself. He needed someone else that could approach God for him. And he chose his own son. But this is under the influence of an age that everyone did what they thought was right. Whether it was right or wrong, they did that. (Clears throat) Okay, now skipping on down just a little bit, and it says, there was a young man who was a Levite. Now it tells where he's from. I'm not interested in that. I'm just wanting you to understand that this young man was of the tribe of Levi. He was a Levite. He was eligible to be a priest under the law of Moses, under the command of God. He chose a tribe, a family, and that was the ones that were to serve as the priest. Go down to verse 10. And it says, and Micah said unto him, this young man, dwell with me, be a priest, and I will give thee silver. So the Levite went in. What he did here, he hired a man to be his priest. He paid him money and wages and gave him clothing and a place to stay. And he was depending upon one that was supposed to be eligible to be a priest, to be his priest. Do you think there's anybody today that would want anyone to serve in this capacity in our lives? We have a lot of people today that are not living close enough to the Lord to get the mind of God for themselves. And so they will go and try to attach themselves to someone that they may feel is a little bit more spiritual or living closer to God and expect them to get some answers for them. That's our trend today in our society. It's even a trend in the religious world. It is the theory that is behind the Catholic religion. They have their priest, and their priests are to hear their confessions and forgive their trespasses. This is the trend, and people feel very comfortable, and they feel justified after they have reached out and spoken their confessions, and the priest blesses them. It all came from this kind of doctrine, if you will, of the Bible. God did ordain the priest in the Old Testament. But let's look at verse 13. Verse 12, it says, and the young man became his priest. And then Micah said, verse 13, now I know the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Now I've got the right one. And this one is going to be able to get in touch with God. Now, in chapter 18, if you study that out, something happened to that priest. He got a better offer. See, he was hired by Micah. I'm going to pay you wages. I'm going to give you a place to stay. I'm going to give you clothes and food. But another tribe came, and they were inquiring about the priest of Micah. And when they found that he was a Levite, they said, well, why don't you just leave him and go with us? You can serve a whole tribe. We can give you, they don't say it this way, but that's what it meant. We can give you better wages. You know what the scripture says about a hireling? A hireling won't stay. When it gets better, they'll go find greater wages. And that's what happened to this priest. He left Micah. He took his ephod. He took his graven images. And he went somewhere else. Can't trust in man. Man will fail you and me. Okay, now, having said all of that, I'm still talking about vision, foresight, about the ability to anticipate and make provisions for the future events. And we have, just in a very small way, allowed our minds to understand what it was in the Old Testament that they could not approach God for themselves. But the prophecy was, that's going to change. So I want to give you a scripture out of Deuteronomy now, the 30th chapter. God has a plan that is so perfect, so entire, wanting nothing. And you and I are in the gospel age. We're in the gospel day. We are a blessed people, as I hope that your vision will perceive by the end of this little thought today. I'm going to be looking at verses 11 through 14 of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. And this is what it says. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hid from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldst say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it down to us? See, that was the trend of the past. They couldn't approach God. They were fearful to even get close to him. They were afraid of him appearing to them with lightning and thunder and smoke and a trumpet and earthquakes many times. And they couldn't even get close to even touch the mount because then they would die. And in reality, in the Old Testament, if any man saw God face to face, he died. That was just how it was. There were cases, certain situations where individuals did see God face to face and lived. But as a general rule, the people knew, if I see God face to face, I die. But now he's saying, you're not going to have someone go up to heaven and bring it down to you. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldst say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Verse 14 says, but the word is very nigh unto thee. It's in thy mouth. And it's in thy heart that thou mayest do it. Now we're going to see, this is prophecy, see? This is how it's going to change. You can't approach God now. You've got to go to the seer. You've got to go to the priest. You've got to go to the prophet. And they'll get a hold of me. And they will be able to bring the word to you and give you the instructions and tell you the direction to go and reveal the secrets. But now it's going to change. Thank the Lord. Jeremiah then, 31, verses 33 and 34. It said, after those days, saith the Lord. After what days is he talking about? He's talking about those days when man could not approach God for themselves. They had to go find the seer or go to the priest. I'm repeating. They had to go to the prophet, and the man of God would then get the answers. So after those days, saith the Lord, what am I going to do? I'm going to put my law in their inward part. I'm going to write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And look at the latter part of that next verse. For they shall know me from the least to the greatest. Now that particular passage, I think, is also found in the New Testament in Hebrews. So it's repeated in the New Testament. Now that's today. That's what he's desiring to do for you and me. You need to know how to live for the Lord? Do you have to go to the preacher? Does the preacher have to take it and go to the Lord and say, tell me how that they can live for the Lord? I want to tell you, down through the experience of my life and even in the ministry, I have had people come and they have said, if you see me doing something that God tells you I shouldn't do, I want you to tell me. I will never forget an experience like that. The individual came to my house, and in reality, they had their mind already made up what to do. But they were telling me what they were planning to do. And they ended it with that statement. If God tells you now that I shouldn't do this, I want you to tell me. I was a bit stunned and taken aback. I had no words. And so the individual left my house. I did. I got on my knees and I started praying. And the Lord stopped me. And he spoke to me. And he said, I did not make you a policeman. You know what? The ministers today they don't have authority. God has the authority. Amen. I can't go to your house and go in your closet and critique everything that you wear. I can't follow you around and make sure that you go to all the right places, make sure you act the right way, make sure. I can't do that. No. I don't have that ability. I don't want that ability. And I'm not going to come and tell you, unless the Lord says to, that you're doing something wrong. That's the office of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Praise God. And he's never wrong. Right. I can be wrong. I can make wrong judgments. And so God told me, and I want to tell you what, I've not acted in the way of a policeman since then. I will not police the people. That's the office of the Holy Spirit. He says, this thing can be in your heart and in your mind. Now, does he choose certain ways to get it there? He does. He says he chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that will believe. But I want to tell you something. Unless you seek for and receive the Holy Spirit, you will be lacking in that contact with God.
Exactly.
Individual contact with God. You have the right to go to God for yourself. You don't have to come to a seer. You don't have to go to the prophet or the priest. You don't have to have a priest. You don't have to pay a priest. We're going to read some more scriptures. Let's turn to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Thank the Lord for the plan of God. I am so glad I am not living in the Old Testament time. The 4th chapter of Hebrews, we're going to look at 14 through 16. And this is what it says. Oh, this is wonderful. Seeing then that we have a what? Great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. So, you do have a priest. You can say to the Lord today, be my priest. He'll be your priest. Amen. He'll give you the answers that you need. And then it says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, for this reason, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't this how long has it been since you read that passage? I want to tell you, we can quote the one of coming boldly, but we need to be reminded I have a high priest. I don't need to go to the seer. What's your vision? What do you see? Have you got some foresight here? What is the high priest supposed to do for you and me? He's doing something. What is he doing? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. Doing what? Interceding with your name and my name. And he knows everything about me. Yeah. He knows my thoughts. He knows the intentions of my heart. He knows there is nothing that he does not know about me. He knows the secrets of my life. Yes. I don't. I can't justify you. I can't pat you on the back and say, you're okay. But the Holy Spirit knows it all and is able to work with you individually, and every honest heart can come to him and say, Lord, search me. Do you pray that way? Do you pray like the scripture says, search me and know me? And see if there is any wicked way in me. I can't say that to even my husband. I can't say it to my children. They may have confidence. But I need to go to the one that knows me, knows everything, and is able to work with me and speak to me. What is your vision? Don't overlook the truth of the message this morning. You and I can come boldly to the throne of grace. We've got a high priest that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched with our humanity. He knows our humanity. Yeah. Is that an excuse for our actions because we're human? No. Because he has the power to grant unto us to overcome our humanity. He was tempted in every point and didn't have sin. And he knows how to help you and me to overcome that we not have sin in our life. Thank the Lord. Come boldly to the throne of grace. I have three scriptures I want to share with you this morning. And it concerns the judgment bar of God. We're just sort of sliding into now the next phase. And we have to have a vision of that time and that place. Because the scripture says it's appointed unto every one of us to die. And after that, there's judgment. We cannot escape the judgment. We cannot gather our loved ones that may have confidence in our life and say, would you go with me to the judgment? It won't work. I will only be judged. God will be my judge. I want you to listen to these scriptures. If you'll turn with me to Matthew, the 16th chapter and verse 27, just going to give you three, that we may be able to have our minds opened up, that we will have a vision, we will have that foresight, that ability to anticipate and make provisions for this event. It may be in the future. We have not died yet. If the Lord comes back, it's still in the future. We can make provisions for that. Verse 16, chapter 16, verse 27. It says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And I have written out here, according to his choices. We choose the things that we do in this life. Nobody forces us. Nobody takes the hand of a thief and forces it to go over here and take money. He chooses to steal. He chooses to kill whoever. You see, nobody forces that. But there's a reward for every man according to his choices. The next scripture is 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and verse 10. And it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now this is a picture. Do you have foresight? Do you have a vision now? I can go to my high priest. I have the invitation to go boldly. What if I refuse that invitation? I refuse to go boldly to the throne of grace. What happens? We still come to this place. The last one is Revelations, the 20th chapter, and it's verse 12. And it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life." Did you know it's real? Do you have a vision this morning and an understanding? Do you have light? Do you see a big book? Oh, it may not be exactly like what we might envision in these earthly thoughts, but there is a book of life, and if your name or my name is not written in there by God, isn't that one of our theories of why we don't have a church book? Because God is keeping the book. I could say you're saved and you're not. I could take your name out when you might need it in. But God doesn't make a mistake. And so he says a book was open, and there was one that was the book of life. And it says the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works or their choices they chose. So where there is no vision, the people will perish. If people refuse to have a vision, they will perish. Jesus is the great high priest. Yes. Thank the Lord. Do you have foresight? Are you making... You have the ability. It says it's the ability to anticipate and make provisions for the future. I had a song, number 236 in our book. I don't have my book up here, but it speaks about the last great day. And the chorus says, "Oh, that last great day, it is coming very soon. 'Tis the judgment day." I don't have, that's all I wrote down. What's the rest of it? If you've turned to it, help me out.
"And the lost shall weep."
After 'tis the judgment day, and the lost shall weep. What's the next part?
What number was it?
356. Do you have it, Chris? I didn't bring a song up here, a book up here.
"Oh, that last great day is coming very soon. 'Tis the judgment day, and the lost shall weep."
Yes.
"'Tis the crowning day."
'Tis the crowning day. And what?
"And the saints shall greet in that last great day."
I want to tell you, you can either have a crowning day, or your judgment day can be a day of sorrow. You read over those verses of that song sometime. You know, we need a vision so we won't perish. You might say, well, does she have a vision? I seek for a clear vision. And I want to encourage us all this morning, seek for a clear vision. Provisions have been made for you and me to make heaven. And we have the ability to also make provisions for future events, for whatever is out there. For it could be for this life too, but I want to tell you something. Every future event that might come to you, disasters, sorrow, grief, all of those kind of things, you can survive. But if you're not ready to meet the Lord, you can't survive this one. That's the seriousness of the message this morning. You don't have to go find a seer to find out if you're okay. He is able to witness to you right today. You're ready to meet me or you're not. Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord for the plan of salvation. For the gospel day. I am so glad I am not back in that time where I would have to go find me a seer. You can see. You can make provisions for the future event that will determine where you will be in eternity. Pray for me.